Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you a Yeovil Town fan? Do you want to help shape the future of Yeovil Town Football Club? The Glovers Trust exists to give Yeovil Town fans a democratic voice in the running of the club. Our aim is to strengthen links between the club and the local community it serves, and to engage with as many Yeovil supporters as possible. So, join the Trust today, and together we can build a stronger Yeovil Town Football Club. To find out more and to become a member, visit glovers-trust.co.uk and follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
So hello and welcome to the Glovers Past from the Glovers Cast. When we asked our listeners which Yeovil Town players they fancied hearing from down our history, some of them went back a little bit further than we thought. So between 1995 and 1998, Mickey Engwell was captain of Yeovil Town as they fought their way out of what we all know today as the National League South back into the National League. Mickey played 84 times in that period, scoring 5 goals, including one on that memorable night at Hewish Park against Enfield in 1996. Still gives me a shiver down my spine thinking about that one. Howard Forrington is a name that any listener of the Glovers Cast doesn't need to remind you about, because I talk about him all the time. So Howard first spell at Yeovil, lasted just half a season. But in that time, he scored 23 goals in 25 matches alongside, obviously, Warren Patmore, who went on to become a Yeovil legend. So first of all, can I just say, gentlemen, it's an absolute pleasure to have you both on there. I completely admit to being a fanboy. When I was a Yeovil Town supporter at the age of 15, 16, you two were in your heyday. So you were my heroes as a young man, so thanks again for talking to us.
That's a pleasure. My pleasure.
Absolute pleasure.
Fantastic. Well, Mickey, if I can start with you, because obviously your time with Yeovil Town started but before Howard. You joined, I think Graham Roberts was manager at the time, and the club had just been relegated to what we called the ISIS League then. How did that move come about? Was Graham somebody that you knew from your time at that level?
Yeah, I'd played at Enfield Town with Graham, and we had moved from there to Harrow Borough. So I'd been with him for a couple of clubs, and obviously, when the Yeovil Town job came for Graham, he contacted me and said, would I be interested in the travelling, etc. And to be honest, you know the fan base, you know their history of Yeovil Town. So I was only just too pleased to join him and travel down there with the Greys boys for the couple of seasons that I had there. I mean, it was probably some of the best football, the most enjoyable football that I've played in my career. So it was a move that was totally worthwhile.
And was it Graham's attraction? Was it playing for him that made you move, or you'd obviously knew of Yeovil Town as a well known non league club, probably more for their sort of FA Cup history around that time, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Howard would say the same as me. I mean, Yeovil's a massive club. It's well known, as you said before. The history of the club goes back years. So it's when someone offers you to go to a club as good and as big and as prolific as that, you just jump at the chance. And when he asked me, I had a word with the with my partner at the time, and she totally agreed. And as I say, it was probably the best 3 years of my career. So yeah, a choice well made.
Yeah, and we did have Graham on earlier in the summer. Actually, he came on and spoke to us about that time, and he sounded like it was never a dull moment with him, was there, as manager?
No, again, as H would say, you always had to be on your toes. Yeah. You never know what was going to get thrown at you. You never know how he was going to be. But one thing I can say about the man, he got a group of players together.
Yeah,
that was just exceptional. And us traveling from Grays to yourself or that area and the Oval boys, it just all gelled brilliantly. And he got us playing some of the best football, I think, that most of us have seen.
Yeah. Howard, I've got to ask you, I mean, when you were training with him, was he still playing then, Graham? Was he on the training pitch? Did he stick a few tackles in?
Yeah, like you say, I'd obviously watched him play when I was younger, and I think Mickey sort of hinted it a little bit there, obviously, with his history and stuff. But yeah, he still liked to leave his foot in, and certainly was a bit more careful with us. But certainly when he played in those games, in those league games, yeah, there was a few people that sort of came off certainly worse for wear from one of his challenges.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, Dave, I think Howard was far too quick for Graham, but you don't tell him that. I mean, emailing Picard and Warren Patmore were a little bit too quick for Graham at the time. But you definitely didn't say that to him, because I don't think he'd walk.
I always thought that about Graham was, but he had that quality about him, didn't he? That he, in a way, didn't need to be quick, because I remember some of the passes he could put. He could ping a ball from his own half into the other half, straight to the foot of another player. It was, he was obviously, you could tell he was a very quality player in his time.
But, yeah. Oh God, he was unbelievable. Yeah, he was. Like you say, he'd pick a pass, but it also, like I say, it was one of those things that he always looked like he had an extra couple of seconds on the ball.
Yeah.
Like you say, but it was also his organisation. He'd been there, seen it and done it. And it was such a help to have around as well, to sort of have some of that experience and that kind of sort of, like I say, been through it all before, that it was just, a real comfort to have sort of in your side.
Yeah, absolutely. Mickey, I mean, in that first season, obviously, club had come down from the conference, and Graham assembled a team of some quite experienced heads, including yourself. But one player that people probably didn't know a lot about when he arrived was Warren Patmore, who obviously went on to become a hero for the club. And in that first season, I do remember he had a spell when we had Giuliano Grazioli, didn't we, on loan for a little while. And I just remember the link-up play, and obviously we saw that again when he played with Howard. I mean, what do you remember about Warren Patmore in that first season? Because he was pretty quick off the mark, wasn't he, as a striker at that level?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we were blessed with some fantastic centre-forwards, Howard being one, Owen, Warren, Giuliano. I mean, we had some great class and quality up there. With Wazza, again, nine times out of ten, if you get the ball wide or set pieces, you know that he's going to be there or thereabouts and getting his head onto the ball.
Yeah.
His hold-up play was second to none. His presence, it was very dominating. I just thought his all-round game, again, along with the other centre-forwards that we had, made our job a lot easier so to speak, because we knew that if we got balls wide and our build-up play was good, we've got half a chance of scoring. Hence the reason I think we scored X amount of goals on that title-winning season. It was just, they were just ruthless up top there.
It was phenomenal. And Howard, obviously, we'll come to, I'm sure, a bit more about your first spell with the club, but you struck up a great relationship with Warrington. And as I say, alongside the likes of Owen Pickard and Giuliano Grazioli, I mean, what was it made him such a good player to play alongside? Because he always seemed to score a lot of goals himself, but bring a lot of goals out of other players as well. How was he as a strike partner?
Well, I think like Mickey sort of hinted at it there, he brought so many sort of other players into the game, and obviously me included. It was like, say, fantastic to play up there with. Mick said, he'd hold the ball up really well. He'd get win headers in the air, and obviously I'd try and get on the end of them. But he was also deceptively quite quick and a real talented footballer for such a big lad as well. So it was very much sort of a role where he was the foil for me, and I'd probably make runs in behind, and that's kind of quite rare that I sort of played that role. So it was probably it's certainly most enjoyable partnership I've had with another player over sort of a 20 game period. And not just because I was scoring goals, but also the amount of work he put in for the side, but also his strike partner as well, whether that be me or Dean Birkby or whatever. He would often be quite unselfish, but like you said, he'd also chip in with a massive amount of goals, which is quite sort of rare for a player that is quite unselfish. They tend not to get the plaudits in the numbers they score in terms of goals, but he certainly, he could do both, which, like I say, made him an absolute, real handful for any sort of centre-half, really.
I do agree with that. I mean, yeah. I think a forward line worked tremendously hard. And it's an old cliche, but defending starts at the front. But it just made it a lot easier for us because they work so hard. And a lot of the time that didn't go, didn't go noticed because, they were stopping teams from playing out from the back, etc. And I think that just helped the old team ethos. And a lot of the games there, along with the crowd and that, we just didn't look like we was going to get beat.
Mm. And I mean, in that first season, Mickey, obviously we had a very good Hayes side who went on to win it. And Enfield, as you mentioned there, one of your former clubs. Was it a disappointment to just fall short of making a return to the conference at that first attempt in that first season you were with us?
Yeah, it's always going to be disappointing because, again, I mean, the Yeovil Town being such a big club, such a strong following fan base, it's they should be playing football. In the Football League, there's no doubt about it. So when we don't achieve or when we didn't achieve, it was very upsetting, but it just probably kicked us on a little bit to make sure it didn't happen again. So, and again, Howard would agree, I think Graham got a group of players there which would work hard for each other. The banter was fantastic. It was just a fun place to be at that time.
Yeah. And you mentioned there about that second season, you added that bit of quality, in particular two players I remember, Jerry Gill, who obviously went on to Birmingham with Howard, and Rob Cousins as well. I mean, those two, amongst others, just brought a real bit of extra quality to that second season.
Yeah, just pure class. I mean, you could go through from Tony Penikingo to Chris Wyatt. Yeah. You had numerous players, if players got injured or suspended or whatever, that could come in and just fill their boots and just slip into it as if they'd been nothing changed. I think that's what one of Graham's forties was getting a 16 to 18 players of sheer quality. Howard Work was fit, you could have Owen go in there, Birkby go in there. And it's just constant class that we had. So we was blessed, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And Howard, when we were talking with Graham earlier in the year, he was telling us about signing you and how he went to watch you play. You were at Oxford City, is that right, before you joined Yeovil?
Yeah, I was sort of playing locally. Yeah, Oxford City. I was, funnily enough, I was living in Bristol, but travelling back to play at Oxford City. Obviously released by Oxford United sort of previously to that. And I think it all sort of came about. I heard of the obviously the sort of the interest from sort of number of clubs. I think I then played with Mickey and a lot of the other Yeovil lads at, in a representative side down in Dagenham, I think the game was, if I remember rightly. And that was the first time I sort of came across Graham and Terry Cotton and a few of the other lads. And obviously when the interest was there for me to sort of sign, like Mickey said, such a huge club with a great history. I'd been down to Huish, I think on Boxing Day that season with Oxford City, with a game that got postponed after about 20, 30 minutes. And right, as soon as I knew that interest was there, I didn't have to think twice. I was, you know, signing.
Yeah. And it was around, was it January time in the new year that you joined?
Oh, God.
Sound about right? I'm sorry, I'm asking you,
I think
remember
it was,
my,
yeah, early January. Yes, early January, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, and when you joined, like you say, there was Dean Burtby there. There was Warren there. Obviously, I mean, did you wonder whether you were going to get in the side with, you know, some of the players that there were?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I totally did. From going sort of being, you know, absolutely first choice, sort of nailed on to play pretty much every week. I was scoring freely at Oxford. But, you know, there wasn't a great amount of competition. No disrespect to the club, but obviously the different sort of resources at their disposal, they couldn't sign such a, like Mickey's already said, such a sort of in sort of quality, in-depth squad. So I knew, barring injury, I'd probably be playing. Whereas joining Yeovil, it was one of the sort of things that sort of was in the back of my mind, but I just had to trust myself and my ability. And, you know, luckily I got off to a reasonably good start scoring in my second game.
I remember that.
It may have been a little bit more of, you know, a bit of a concern. Because I certainly know, I think it's one of those memories that it's not one of the best ones, but I remember, I think in that game before I scored, he was Hitching at home.
Yeah.
They took Dean Burtby off, and the crowd weren't happy, and I assumed it was me they wanted off instead. And luckily, I managed to score, I think, a little bit later, and you know that sort of put my sort of mind at rest a little bit. But yeah, it was you know, it was kind of that sort of spurred me on really to sort of think, right, I've got to really knuckle down here, or else I won't be playing each week with such a sort of quality they had.
Like you said, even at that level.
I think, to be honest with you, Dave, he's being a bit kind on himself. He was class. He knew, as he said, he was always going to play. He was always going to play in my eyes. And being a captain at the side at the moment, I would have been disappointed if he weren't on the team sheet, to be totally honest. But, you know, great centre forwards, great team, and a club that was just second to none, really.
I was going to say,
the crest of a wave, wasn't it? I think we'd, you know, I certainly with me, and I guess that came from the lads that, you know, that's the side that Mickey said about the team spirit. We'd turn up at places as professional as a pro club, and we'd go out onto that field, and I don't think anyone expected to get beaten. And that was, again, no disrespect to the opposition, but it was just the confidence that was going through the club and the side at that time. There were obviously times when things didn't go right, and we'd, you know, but that happened. But certainly entering that field, I just couldn't see us ever losing.
Yeah,
I make you right.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at some of the attendances during that season, you know, to get to 3,000 fans, and obviously that one night 8,000 in for that Enfield game. I mean, having that support behind you from the fans, that must have been a lift for you as well to drive you on.
I'm sure anyone you ask, having that amount of passionate supporters is brilliant for any footballer. And having it at Yeovil, playing in that standard of football, don't get me wrong, that standard of football is still getting 8,000 with 2,000 locked outside. Yeah. If you can't play football with that sort of support, then you should be playing cricket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just a different level, and they are very passionate. The Yeovil supporters, they command success. And as I said before, I think we give them that. And as Howard's just said, it was that confidence. It sounds a bit bolshy, but every fixture, where it was away or at home, especially at home, we just didn't think we were going to get beat.
Yeah, I mean, to me as well, like Mickey's spot on there. But for me, it was also the away support that when you travel away and see like an army of green and white, and they you know, sometimes they'd outnumber the home fans 2-1, and just coming out to that was like I say, I know it sounds again like a bit cliche, but it was just inspirational. I can't let them down. It really did mean something to those people at home and away, and it really did sort of drive you and inspire you to give it your all, it really did.
Yeah. Well, that's lovely to hear, because like I said to you at the beginning there, as a 16, 17 year old, this was my life, following you guys around the country, watching it. And I do remember, I mean, the one thing that I've always said in the probably more years than I care to imagine watching Yeovil is the one thing you always want, the only thing you can ask from a player is to give their absolute all. And I think that, the quality was obviously there with this team, but you also felt that you were given everything. And I always thought there might have been a little bit to do with Graham Roberts, because if he didn't give you all, he'd probably let you know about it, I'd have thought.
Yeah. And that's how it should be.
I mean, you had to, as Howard said before, you couldn't rest on your laurels, because there was quality to take your place.
Yeah.
And Graham made sure of that. So did that work? I'd like to think it did, because no one wants to be left out of the side. And he pretty much, if you have a look at that season, he pretty much had similar players on the team sheet every week, because you didn't want to disappoint.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got to talk about that night, that Enfield game, as you said, 8,007, I think it was, in the ground, and then plenty more than that locked out as well. I mean, we'd obviously gone toe-to-toe with them at the time. And Mickey, that was obviously one of your old teams. If I remember right, they gave us a bit of a thumping at their place earlier in the season, didn't they? So there was some needle about this one, wasn't there?
Oh, massively, yeah. I think, as Howard said, every team gets an off day, and we had an off day on that occasion. Yeah. But after that, I think we went on an unbeaten run of so many games. And when they come to us, I can't remember if we was both nearing the 100-point mark. And we had that sort of crowd, and we got off to a flying start, and it ended up 2-2. But, just another great day at Yeovil Town. It was something you'll always remember, I think.
I think we were 2-0 up in 10 minutes, something ridiculous. And you got the first goal, didn't you, Mickey, if I remember?
Yeah, I've got to be totally honest with you. I ain't said nothing, but I think I was crossing it to Warren, but it got deflection. But I said that I'd chip the goalkeeper. You know what it is, mate. You've got to take your goalkeeper.
Take him when you can at left back, yeah?
Yeah. And then Paul Turner scored after 6 minutes, I think. And we were 2-0 after 6 minutes, yeah. And they got a couple of goals in the second half. But
Paul Turner was an ex-Enfield player as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Turns was one of the lads that used to drive down with us. I mean, that was an interesting journey, to be quite honest. Imagine all us in the car together. That was quite funny. But you didn't mind. You didn't mind, because you get there and you'd meet up with H, and you'd meet up with Owen and Al James Hannigan and Graham Roberts. And
brilliant.
You just have sheer fun. It was a joy. It was a joy.
Brilliant. And Howard, I mean, that night, if I remember rightly, you came in for a bit of rough treatment. They seemed to know you were someone to mark, if I remember rightly, in that game.
Yeah, I think it was Al James. I had a bit of a clash with him a couple of times, I think, that game. Yeah. But, it's certainly, I think, probably one of the most memorable nights in my football career, just for the sheer atmosphere of it, for the amount of people in a ground of that size. It was like people say about it, it was actually electric. It was amazing feeling. And it was just such a shame we couldn't beat them there and then. But I think it was probably a fair result, in the end, I think, if I remember rightly. But I think that was probably one of the last sort of games we dropped points in. I think Heybridge Swifts being away, apart from that, I think we pretty much won everything from then on in.
Oh, that's a good memory. I forgot about Heybridge Swifts, because we could have won it then, couldn't we? That was like three games from the end or something, wasn't it?
We drew 0-0. Yeah, it was one of the,
Again. And funny, we should be talking, and this will date this podcast a little bit, but Yeovil won 2-1 away at Bromley last night. And it was 2-1 away at Bromley that date sticks in my mind, 29th of April 1997. Never forget it, that night when we won there and got promoted back to the conference. I mean, that was a special night as well, wasn't it?
That was
unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was injured at the time, and I can remember, I don't know if you remember, H, but I can remember pacing up and down. I don't know, I was 29 then, but I was acting like a little baby. I was going round the back of the building, trying to not listen to the crowd shouting, and because I knew he was leading, so I was just waiting for it to finish before I can jump in the dressing room and celebrate with all yous boys. But
I think if I remember rightly as well, it was a pretty windy night, and I think we had the wind going in the first half. I don't know why I remember this so clearly now, as we're talking about stuff like this, but it's coming back to me, and I sort of remember being two up, I think, but thinking, crikey, they got the win behind him here. This is definitely not over this yet. And they were a tricky side, they were.
Yeah.
They were. That was big and physical. It was like, the Alamo the second half, wasn't it?
But like I said, but we defended properly, the lads put their bodies on the line, and it was a real performance. But I said, the back four certainly then, and Pens as well, like really proper put a shift in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah, and then Howard, obviously, promotion, and then the opportunity for you to make a move back into the Football League with Birmingham City at the end of the. I mean, how did that move come about? Was it that they obviously, you must have caught their eye, I'd have thought, with the goal.
Yeah, I think I know that Jerry Gill was. I think he'd gone up for a couple of trial games.
Okay.
And obviously, I'd heard of the interest. Obviously, the lads talking about it, he'd gone up to play in the Midlands a couple of times. For the Blues reserves, I hadn't heard anything about me. I think Robbo sat me down again. I think it was Chertsey away, just in the dugout, the away dugout, and said at the end of the game that they want to sign me. I'd heard nothing before,
right.
And obviously, my jaw hit the floor, and I was obviously ecstatic. But I was, whereas the Jerry thing, it was kind of an ongoing thing, and it was in the offing, and it was, possibly in the pipeline. Whereas me, it was just a complete shock to me. I knew there was clubs interested, obviously, because I was scoring goals, but, you hear that all the time. So-and-so is coming to watch you. This is happening, but there'd been nothing firm. And obviously, I think it came from the connection of Robbo and Trevor Francis, obviously, through their Rangers days, that he invited him down to watch the Enfield game. I know that Trevor always just said to me, he came to watch that game. With a number of other scouts, and he was the one that basically put his head on the block and said, "Look, we'll take him." Mm. And that's how it came about from that game.
And how
I didn't
was...
have the best game against Enfield either.
No,
if I remember rightly.
Like you say, you were getting kicked about a bit, as I recall. Yeah. But but I mean, what was that step like then? Obviously, that's some time ago now that you were joined. Was it a real noticeable step up to that football?
I remember. I remember turning up first day of pre-season. We went on again, it's one of them things that sticks in my mind, 40-minute run. I think I got overtaken by a coach who was about 50, if I'll be honest with you, as I was running up this hill. And I think he turned around, and I think it was Mick Mills, and he turned around and said to me, he said, "Cool, I can't believe we signed you," or something like that.
Right.
And I just thought, I need to get myself fit here.
Yeah.
I was living as a student before that, so I wasn't exactly living a healthy life.
Right, yeah. Football was a bit,
I was enjoying my time.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with 50 either.
Still very young, isn't it? Still very young.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, mate.
Just to talk a little bit about that Birmingham time, because you were there two seasons, am I right in saying?
Yeah, about 2.5 years before left. Yeah, about 2.5 years. Yeah.
And you did well in the, I seem to remember, reserves. I think you were top scorer at least one season, weren't you?
Top scorer for both. There was a lot of talk of a lot of the fans saying, give him a chance. We were struggling for goals at a time, but it was what sort of prompted me to leave, really. That I think they obviously were signing quality players again, spending sort of fair bit of money. And Trevor just didn't seem to give me the opportunity to show what I could do. I'd already scored I played a few games in League Cup, scored in the league, the winner against QPR to secure a playoff spot 1 year. But the next game, back on the bench, and I just thought, look, it seemed to me whatever I did, I would never really get a consistent run in the team. And I didn't, knew my days weren't numbered, but to sort of play regular football, I'd have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and he had a couple of loans in that time as well. Was it Plymouth? Did you go to Plymouth?
Yeah, Plymouth was great. Loved it again in green. I always used to see play my best football in green. That's what my mum used to tell me. and I went down there a couple of months. scored 3 in 9 games, but the reason I kind of got on so well was two of them were against Exeter. A home game. I think just the 27th of December 1 year. 1-0 at home. Ever since then, I've always been, they talk quite fondly of me down there as well. So, I was quite lucky. They did try to sign me at one point and I was happy to go, but supposedly I was asking for too much money, but that wasn't correct.
You don't ask, you don't get, do you?
I didn't get.
You didn't get. All right, okay. But Mickey, I mean, obviously Howard had moved on, but then he brought in Owen Pickard at Yeovil, and into the conference, and he hit the ground running, if I remember rightly, and I'm sure that can't have been a coincidence playing alongside Roy and Pat Moore as well. Like you said, they struck up a very quick relationship as well. I mean, what was Owen like in comparison with some of the other strikers that we mentioned?
He had his own qualities. He was different to Howard, and I think to Warren. They was their old up play was better. I mean, Howard's running beyond was good, but I think he was a bit more slender. I wouldn't say at the same pace, especially with Howard on the phone. But his runs were cute, good finisher, and again, it was just. Just an extension of quality, especially in that area. I mean, if you look at the amount of goals these boys created, it certainly made my job a lot easier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To captain, manage and defend. I mean, because they were scoring all sorts of goals. So just proper centre forwards, really. You can take your pick from any of them. I mean, I don't want to leave Dean Burkby out.
Yep.
He was superb as well. Burko, he used to work his socks off. So, yeah. As I said it numerous times before, just pleasure to play with. Pleasure to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean that season in the conference, am I right in saying that was your last one? You joined up because Graham left, didn't he? He talked to us about the reasons for him leaving, so we don't have to go over that again. But
no, you know that we won't go into that. I've got offered better terms to stay, and to this day, to be honest, again, as Al would tell you, you sometimes regret some of the decisions you make in your footballing life. And I think that was one that I regret having left the club. I mean, I was the other way around to Howard. Howard got noticed. I played my pro football and didn't come in to Yeovil, the back end of it. Hence the reason in the difference of age between me and H. But I definitely regret now. I can honestly say that I did leave Yeovil because it sort of like petered out after that, but you don't always make the right decisions.
No, but I mean, I suppose just to finish with the both of you, I mean, you've spoken obviously very fondly about the club. I mean, if I had to ask you to pick one memory of your time with Yeovil, and Howard, feel free to mention, you know, the times when you came back as a player later on as well. I mean, what would it be? What would be the memories that you would have that remind you of your Yeovil time? Mickey, maybe if we start with you.
I definitely remember, again, I was injured, but that home game where we celebrated with the trophy in front of a large crowd. I can't remember who we played there. H, who was it? Do you remember? There was about 4,500 there for that game.
Yeah.
Chertsey on that last game, wasn't it? Chertsey?
It might have been. It might have been Chertsey. I definitely remember that. Obviously, I remember the Enfield game because that'll stick with us, as I've said before.
Yeah.
But the most thing I do remember is the whole 3 years because of what the club was about, what the players was about, how Graham organised that and how everyone got on so well. I think as Howard said, it's a memory that I won't forget, and I love doing these podcasts.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, it's great to do it again, And I have to say, one thing I remember about that game against Chertsey was Tony Pennock scored a penalty there, didn't he? Was he like the only player who hadn't scored that season, I think? And I'm sure he got a penalty.
Yeah, that's right. I think the lads got on my back because they said, he's the only one that scored. And I was going for the golden boot that year. And I was thinking, hang on a minute. I'm giving away potentially an easy goal here, but I was like more than happy. for that to happen. And luckily, it kind of works out in the end. I think I scored a couple anyway. But I was thinking, everyone's like, he ain't scored. Let him take it. I'm like, and had I been a bit older, I'd probably told him to back off. But I was like, yeah, I better do.
Yeah. So. Brilliant. And I would, I suppose, same question to you. Like I say, you obviously had two more spells with the club in 2000, early 2000s, wasn't it? I mean, what would be your memory of Yeovil if you had to pick one?
Like I say, obviously the Enfield night was a special night, but for me it was the Bromley away game. The fact that we hadn't done it on the Saturday at Heybridge, that I wouldn't say that it was a little bit more pressure on us, but just that night, I remember like travelling back that sort of evening, and like the changing rooms, and I think I'm sort of moving house at the end of this week, funnily enough, and I went back through a few boxes, and there was a paper that was released, I think, the week later.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of the pictures, and there's one of us all in there, Mickey, and you're in there with a bottle of champagne.
That's unlike that. It must have been a stunt double H, weren't it?
And to me, that was a night that I'll kind of never forget, that a culmination of like months and months of hard work for me, but obviously the team for the whole season, and also sort of playing such an important role in that. It was probably the one night in football I'll certainly cherish, probably one of the most ever, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Fantastic. Well, like I say, we asked we threw a question out to the people that listen to this podcast to ask them which players from our past they want to hear, and your two names were the first ones who came up. So even after all these years, you're still very well remembered by everyone at Yeovil. So it just remains for me to say thank you both for spending the time talking with us. And hopefully if you find yourself back in the southwest of England, I'm sure there'll be a warm welcome for you at Ewish Park.
Yeah, I'd just like to say,
lovely to speak to you.
Yes, like you say, thank you very much, Howard. Lovely to speak to you, my friend.
Yeah, Andrew, Mickey.
I wish you well. You look after yourself.
Andrew, mate.
David, thanks very much.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks again, Dave. Chaps. Speak soon. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making for his back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.